The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Good evening and welcome everybody to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. We've got you for the next 60 minutes. That's right, Zach Zaidman is off again on a well-deserved vacay. I mean, he's spending so much time on the beach, he's probably going to be a blonde by the time he comes back. But Tom and I are going to talk a lot of offense tonight. No, we're not going to get offensive. We're going to get offensive because, man, I just have a feeling that this Bears offense can explode, and I think it potentially could rival the Denver Broncos and their record-setting offense of a year ago. But before we get into offense, and of course we're going to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767 because we want to take your phone calls as the program moves along to see if you believe the Bears offense can be as potent as the 2013 Denver Broncos. And we will also get into our Ask Tom segment as well. And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at CHI Bears Promos is the Twitter handle. But before we get into anything, I got to welcome in my partner for the next 60 minutes. Let's say hello to one Tom Thayer. How are we doing tonight, Tom?
Oh, I'm doing good, Jim. A little disappointed in the White Sox loss. Extra innings, they got themselves an opportunity to get a big win, but it didn't work out for them. But nevertheless, here we are getting ready to talk about more Bears football. And you know, I kind of had a question I wanted you to think about, but it has to go with offensive football and the overall performance, because I started looking at some type of written thing that they have the percentage chances of what players in the NFL could win the MVP at the end of the league. I don't know if you saw this, and obviously Peyton Manning was number one. And in the list, there was Jay Cutler, and then they also had Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte tied on the list, and no signs of Alshon Jeffrey. And it seems to me, if you're talking about MVP and you talk about what the opportunity is for this offense and the way they could explode, and when you're talking about MVP, it's usually relatable to some type of team success. But to me, if the Bears we're talking about an MVP candidate of the National Football League this year that's related to the success, I don't think it's on the offensive side of the ball. So that's what I wanted you to think about. If there was a candidate on the Bears, is it to Jay, to Brandon, to Matt, and then so on and so forth? Or do you have a thought process about what would have to be accomplished in order for it to be related to success?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. And I'm going to give my answer at the end of the show. But I will say this. I was the lone AP voter that voted for Tom Brady for MVP a year ago. And I'm going to explain the reasons why. Because everybody's going to say, the record-setting year by Peyton Manning. Look at that offense. More points than any offense that ever scored. He had 55 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and over 5,400 yards. That's incredible. It's incredible. Is he a valuable player? Is he a valuable player to the Denver Broncos? Absolutely. But I voted for Tom Brady, because they had issues on their offensive line, and Logan Mankins, their left guard, had to switch to tackle. He had two rookie receivers. All of his tight ends were out. They had fumble issues at the running back position for the New England Patriots. And then on defense, they lose Tommy Kelly, Vince Wilfork, and Gerard Mayo. I mean, they lost everybody on defense as well. But yet, they're in the AFC Championship game against this record-setting Denver Bronco team and made it a ball game. They could have pulled out the victory if Tom makes one more throw in that game. So, to me, I looked at the MVP no different than the year prior, how Adrian Peterson carried his team, and that's how I believe Tom Brady did a year ago. But I will give you my selection of the Chicago Bears MVP towards the end of the show. But the reason why I bring up offense and why this offense could be as good as, say, the Denver Broncos a year ago, let me give you my baseline of thinking, Tom, because we knew when you look at Peyton Manning, it was year two out in Denver, and how that offense was going to come together. And plus, he was 2 years now removed from the neck injury he was recovering from. I go to the number of plays, because when you look at the high-tempo offenses in the National Football League, Denver was number one in plays run, 1,156 plays. New England was two 1,138 plays. Believe it or not, the Buffalo Bills were three with their high-tempo offense. About 1,120 plays. And then I look at the Bears and where they sit a year ago. They ran a little over 1,000 plays last year. When I go back to Denver the year prior, they were sitting at the same number. And so I look at year two in the offense, and I could make the argument, Tom, that man-for-man on the Chicago Bears offense, they're more talented than the Denver Broncos and what they are. Offensive line, I'd give the Bears the edge. Running back, I'd give the Bears the edge. Tight end, I'd give the Bears the edge. Wide receiver, we could have an argument about Wes Welker. There's no doubt about that. Quarterback, everybody's going to say Peyton, but I would argue Jay Cutler can do more at the position due to his mobility. Do you see that type of, if the Bears were to infuse a high-tempo offense, because we know it's a lot of no huddle by the Denver Broncos, could this offense be as prolific as the Denver Broncos were in 2013?
Every bit, because I think one thing you're going to do is take away from the offense this year is the thinking. And any time a player comes back to the sideline and he looked at this coach and says, I thought that means you are beat. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of thinking after Jay calls a play in the huddle. It's going to make sure everybody understands their specific assignment, and if there is the subtle changes, you're going to be able to understand. But then when you go to the no-huddle version, I think the subtleties and all the work, the repetitious work that's been done between the receivers, the offensive line, the individual calls that can make adjustments up and down the offensive line in terms of protection, the little subtle hand movements and signals that Jay can make to his wide receivers and running backs, those are all the things that are going to increase the Bears' ability on offense to create more plays. So, I mean, is 1,100 what you're looking for in terms of productive plays offensively? I do think the Bears are capable of that, but I do think it's because of the knowledge, and everybody knows their ability. But again, I just want to keep saying that word. It's about knowledge on offense that makes you faster.
Absolutely. We've talked about it so many times, areas where this offense could grow. And I think the no-huddle game, the quick-tempo, high-tempo game is where it could grow. Because if you look at it statistically, and I know Jay was hurt last year, but the Denver Broncos threw it 100 times more in terms of pass attempts than the Chicago Bears. We've got plenty more to break down. I want Tom Thayer to break down no-huddle, what you can take advantage of against a defense, but we got to hit this break. But first, the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week, it features Anthony Adams serving the team food in the team cafeteria. Also, the Bears went south for the disaster relief efforts in downstate Illinois. And also this week, the story behind Kasim Green's jersey number change. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, we got more to come. Stick with us. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Don't forget, you can check this out on podcast as well. All you got to do is go to chicagobears.com. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you. Zach Zaidman, a well-deserved vacay. And Tom and I are talking high-tempo offense, specifically the no-huddle, because I really loved it, Tom, and how you could take advantage of the defense. We're asking if the Bears offense can be as prolific as what the Denver Broncos offense was in year two. I do think, Tom, I mentioned the missing piece, certainly Wes Welker. If the Bears can have a slot receiver emerge, I don't care if it's Josh Morgan, Marquise Wilson, that we've talked about has had a phenomenal season. But the one thing I love, say if you do go no huddle out of three wide receivers and the defense stays in, say, a regular defense, where if it's a regular 4-3 for the listeners out there, four down linemen, three linebackers, now that linebacker has to walk out on the third receiver, or they bring a safety down and keep the Will linebacker in the box, so to speak. But that's what I loved about the no huddle specifically, Tom, is you can really take advantage of a defense. Another example, say a corner goes down and you know their third corner is just horrific. Hey guys, attack. Let's go no huddle. These veteran quarterbacks like Jay Cutler, like Tom Brady, like Drew Brees, like Peyton Manning, those are the things they should be looking for. And I would think Jay Cutler is more than capable with the offseason that he's had and the game experience that he's played to go no huddle. in those situations.
You know, Jim, if the guys up front are efficient enough and they can communicate well enough underneath or under the most difficult of circumstances, say playing in Seattle or in Minnesota, where even a divisional game, Green Bay or wherever, if they can communicate on the line of scrimmage, that is going to upgrade their chance to succeed, to make sure they first get Jay protected, to use the strength of his arm to get the ball out there. I keep reverting back to thinking about the first play of this year's Super Bowl. And if the quarterback wants to be so creative on the offensive line that he creates confusion, then you're asking for trouble. So, again, I think that Jay has the capabilities of running a no-huddle offense because he's mature in the process of becoming quarterback. He has a great understanding of the terminology and what this offense is capable of with the plan they have. My question to you is, do you need a guy like Wes Welker, or can a guy like Marquise Wilson, who may feature speed more than creativity on the inside, is that going to be enough to accomplish what you want out of that position, or do you need the Wes Welker type?
No, I agree with you. There could be a mismatch that way where you're stretching the defense vertically. I mentioned if there's, a team's third corner or nickelback that's going to be over Marquise Wilson, who's maybe where Marquise has a height advantage and you know he's got a speed advantage, I think no huddle can help from that aspect as well. Or I mentioned a defense staying in regular base defense, and now there's a linebacker walked out on Marquise. I think that would be a distinct advantage for the Chicago Bears. And I encourage all the Chicago Bears fans, if you just go look at the numbers from 2012 of the Denver Broncos to what the Bears did in their first year, 2013, under Mark Trestman, eerily similar in how they performed. Obviously, last year, Denver, they blew it out the roof now in terms of their points per game, over 37 points a game. The Bears were number two with close to 28 points a game, and I do think the Bears are capable of doing it. And another thing what I loved about no huddle, Tom, and you can talk about it as an offensive lineman, those defensive linemen get absolutely gassed if they got a pass rush every single play. And, Tom, you and I both know they can't sustain it over a 60-minute ball game.
Right. You know, defensive linemen, if you want to talk about it, they're built for three and outs. They're built for six and out, and they want off the field. They'll give you everything they got. But if you can get them in repetitiously where you're going back-to-back 10-play drives and you got them on the field or you got them stuck in a scenario where they can't make the substitutions, yeah, that is an offensive lineman's dream. And I think one of the key elements to the Bears' capabilities, and I don't know, maybe you can remind me, has Peyton Manning ever had the luxury or the opportunity to work with the back like the capabilities of Matt Forte, where you can be involved in blitz pickup? You know you're an incredible receiver out of the backfield. You're very good with the ball if you're just going to hand him off in a draw scenario. Or he can be a nightmare matchup from a wide receiver. I don't know if Peyton has ever had the luxury of working with a guy that Jay will have now with Matt Forte.
That's a good point. Edgerrin James, but they got rid of him early when he went to Arizona. Adai was pretty good, but often injured when you look at Joseph Adai. And so they had to rely on, obviously, Peyton. Dominique Rhodes, but he had his issues off the field. But, you know, probably the best one I'd say was Joseph Adai, but could not line up enough in terms of what Matt Forte can do.
Matt's a three-down back, too. You know what, Jim, when you want to get into a no-huddle scenario and you want to have a guy that's in supreme physical condition and you want to have a guy that's capable of everything that's going to be asked of him without making that unique substitution, I think that's one of the qualities that, you know, it can't be overlooked about Forte.
That's a good point you bring up about the Super Bowl, because Every coach I've ever been with, when we put in and installed our no huddle, one, let's say if we were going to be on the road in a noisy environment, we weren't going no huddle out the gate. It was going to be a strategic implementation. Like if they had a corner that went down, as I mentioned, they were bringing in their third corner, hey, go ahead and attack. We'll go after them. Or maybe they lose a big pass rusher or their best run stuffer. Let's go no huddle and trying to attack the box play. And that's what I like about the Bears, because if that third receiver does emerge like Marquise Wilson, the box numbers could favor Matt Forte, where they could even pound the ball as much as throwing it in terms of the no huddle. People just assume you're chucking it all over the lot, and that's not always the case. Sometimes you're going to check wide receiver screens versus the blitz, but a lot of times the box numbers were so good for Peyton Manning. I've seen him last year check draw play on a third and 10 because the box dictated we need to run the ball here. He checked to a draw, and Knowshon Moreno gets the first down. That was in the AFC Championship game. I remember that. Talk about the box players in no huddle.
Well, you know, that's the thing. In my football life, being raised in the NFL by the Chicago Bears and learning about an eight-man front because of the great Walter Payton, and you never lost the eight-man front because it didn't have the quarterback to take you out of it that was a significant threat downfield. And then my last year, I went to the Miami Dolphins, and I don't think I ever saw more than a four-and-a-half or five-man front because of the fear of Shula-Marino combination. And it gave you a little bit of an understanding how favorable it is for the offensive line if they can get that extra guy that is a threat downfield or the width of the field. Not only is it doing favors for your quarterback, your running back, but it does significant favors for your offensive line because now there's one less guy that you're responsible for in protection. And so when you identify where the direction of your responsibility, you kind of know exactly which guy you're focused on instead of an area that you become vulnerable from. And that is a key element. Again, if they respect Jay's brain power, it's gonna be some relief on the front, and they're going to be challenged on the depth of the field as much as anything.
Well, when we come back, I want to get into the conditioning on offense to run a no huddle, and also think about the division. There's some high flying offenses. Maybe the Bears may be forced to run the no huddle. But before we do go to the break, see the Chicago Bears gear up for the first time at Soldier Field this year. Tickets on sale now for the 2014 Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest presented by Chase on Saturday, August 2nd. Visit ChicagoBears.com to get tickets. More to come after this. All right, we're back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. Zach Sadman off again. The life of Riley of Zach Sadman, it never seems to impress, but he will be back next week, and we're talking about high-tempo offenses, and man, I need to go high tempo until the Bears report to training camp, really about 2 weeks away. So let's get it here as football season will soon be upon us. And Tom, as we continue with the no-huddle, high-tempo offense, doesn't always have to be where you're at the line of scrimmage. You can do the muddle huddle like what the Buffalo Bills used to do back in the day, and very successful offense when you look at that. But just everybody always brings up the conditioning of offensive linemen. You know, I believe that with the new rules of the collective bargaining agreement and the how players have to practice a lot less, you should have more team periods. And if you're going to get in as many plays as you want to run, and you should run to work on things, you probably need to have a couple of periods of no-huddle offense just to work on plays. And maybe a lot of teams that I've been on that worked a lot of no-huddle, minimum, we did it twice, two periods in practice to get in as many plays as we could and to make all the calls and get the guys sped up quickly in terms of their line of thinking of plays that the quarterback could be checking to. Because certainly out in Denver, those players, the 10 others other than Peyton Manning in that huddle, or at the line of scrimmage, they need to think quick on their feet. So talk about the conditioning, and should it be incorporated, just get the most out of the less practice time in the National Football League.
You know, Jim, I think it kind of is already incorporated in the way the Bears run practices, because they run at such a fast tempo, whether the periods they're running in between the transition, in the rate in which they practice, and the speed in which they practice had. And that's one of the things that it took me a long time to really watch a Mark Trestman run training camp, because our practice was structured so much differently. It was slow and methodical, and you took as much time as you needed to get through a specific period. Mark doesn't like mistakes. He doesn't like his players running at a slow tempo. He wants them thinking fast, whether it's a special teams period run by Joe DeCamillis or an offensive defensive period run by the coordinators there. And he believes in ones against one. So I think conditioning is a really important part of it, but I think conditioning begins as a young kid with an offensive lineman, because you have to have the mentality of playing the 75 to 90 plays per game. You're not going to get a rest. If you have back-to-back 10-play drives, you're going all 20. So I don't ever think that's something that you have to instill in an offense or offensive lineman, especially because that's something they learn through in the process of becoming a football player. Again, I just think it's reps. It's academic reps in the classroom and then academic reps on the field. And one of the unique things about the Bears practices is they get so much done before the practice starts to make sure that all the new information is ingrained in their head. They have an understanding from the classroom to a walkthrough on their feet, and now they're going to go full speed. So the steps that Mark puts it in and then the rate in which he expects them to practice at, I think it helps them when they get into games because they are going ones against ones at full speed.
You bring up a good point about Mark Trestman, and I, again, go back to your question about Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. That is not the situation to run no huddle out the gate in probably a nervous setting. It almost felt like an away game, the way the Seattle Seahawks fans were going crazy. But I think Mark Trestman is such a situational guy that a lot of times, I want to get your experiences in the no huddle, because a lot of times you could steal a series. Meaning you may go out there and expect that you're going to run your first in 10 running play. But maybe you notice something, you attack, you get into no huddle mode, and all of a sudden the defense gets very vanilla. They don't know what to do. They line up in their base defense until they figure it out with your personnel grouping that you had on the field. And a lot of times an offense, minimum, can steal a series in a no-huddle situation. Talk about that, Doug.
Well, I think you can steal a series, too. You know, especially, you know, when I was first started playing football for George Allen, he was really specific about what teams did immediately after turnovers, how their offense reacted to turnovers in certain portions of the field, and how that factored into defenses. And I do think if you're a team and you can run a legitimate attacking no huddle, and you're a capitalizing defense, and you get that turnover by Charles Tillman, and you know the defense still has some fatigue in them, even though they're on the sidelines, and you immediately get into an attack mode and put those guys into pass rushers rather than trying to create a stalemate that's hold up against the run game. That's when you can start taking advantage of fatigue within your opponent when you're already aware of it. But then again, if you need to set that fatigue up, you do have to have that initial drive that you come out confidently knowing that you're going to have those one-word commands at the line of scrimmage that's really going to put your opponent on the worry. But if you can get them on the worry and the fatigue, you can do some bone-crushing things to your opponent. And I think a couple times we saw Philly be able to do that to their opponent this year.
Well, last thing I want to talk about in terms of the high-tempo offense, may it have to be run out of necessity, Tom, because there's a lot of teams chirping in the NFC North right now. Green Bay thinks they're unstoppable. Kelvin Johnson, recently he's in the news saying, oh yeah, we're a Super Bowl team. Look at our high-flying offense. May it be run out of necessity when you look at the Chicago Bears. If the defense can't make the leap that they need to make for the Chicago Bears, and we expect they will with all the acquisitions, but to keep up with high-tempo offenses like Green Bay, who was second in the league last year in terms of their offense. I take that back. Philadelphia, and then it was Green Bay, who was third. And then you look at the Detroit Lions and what they could potentially do on offense. They think the Eric Ebron is the next Dallas Clark, next Jimmy Graham, you name it. They think their offense is going to be unstoppable in Motown.
You know, the one thing that scares me about Detroit is because Calvin Johnson is so great that if you get into this fear factor and you don't know how you're absorbing and accepting a new head coach and his system is having a tough time filtering through everybody, Calvin Johnson is such a good just throw it and hope type of guy. And, you know, and Matthew Stafford could live by that for a year. But again, when you have Aaron Rodgers in your division, you have the consistency of the terminology being in the McCarthy offense, everybody being so familiar up there, you know, that's the guy, the team, the offense that's going to be the biggest challenge of the Bears. But again, when you talk about the division and, you know, new head coach Mike Zimmer is going to take a little time to get his offense going with Turner. But again, I think fans around the NFL get to see what Jay Cutler is really capable of with being in an offense over a period of time and being so familiar with his teammates, having so much good construction time in the off season to work with his offense. I do think this has an opportunity to be a blow-up year for Jay.
Well, when we come back, it's your turn, folks. It's the Ask Tom segment. 312-644-6767. You can join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. All you have to do is sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Ask Tom next. It's epic and awarding. Stick with us. All right, we're back here on Bears All Access. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you. Zach Zaitman is off. Don't worry, he will be back next week for sure, but a well-deserved vacay for Zach. As I mentioned, the Ask Tom segment is always awarding because you will be awarded with a gift certificate if you are the winner. So all you have to do is call in at 312-644-6767. So, Tom, are you ready? Are you nervous? Are you ready to get to the callers?
I'm always nervous.
Well,
testing is not my best asset.
Well, it's the calm before the storm. You always get nervous in the locker room coming out the tunnel. But once you get to playing, everything's going to be all good, my friend. So let's go to Jim, who's calling from Elkhart, Indiana. Jimmy, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, Jim. Very good. Big fan of both you, man.
Thank you.
Here's the question. Is Jay Cutler mature enough to play for the win and not statistics or the big grand slam home run, you know what I mean? Is he mature enough to run that offense like that? Can he pull that off?
Yeah, you know why? Because I say it all the time, is because Mark Trestman knows the offense better than anybody. And Mark knows exactly what is supposed to take place. And it's not giving the quarterback an opportunity to see the field and do what his decision is after the center quarterback exchange. He calls a play that is a fit against the personnel he sees defensively. And then there's an alternate plan built in the terminology that if it's not exactly set according to plan, then you go to plan B within the same call. So I think Jay's maturity, it's not challenged because he has so much respect for the knowledge of Mark Trestman in the point and what they're trying to earn.
And Jim, we've talked about this before, and it's an excellent question. Thanks for the phone call. Anybody else can hop on board. 312-644-6767. I'm a big fan of the Bears quarterbacks coach, Matt Kavanaugh. He was actually the Chicago Bears offensive coordinator when I first arrived in Chicago under Dave Wannstedt. And that's really what he talked about at the end of the OTAs and minicamps, Tom, was just about he's seen incredible progress from Jay Cutler, from his mechanics to the way he drops out of the shotgun to the way he's reading defense, how the ball's getting out of his hand quicker. What specifically, even how he's bulked up physically to stay healthy for 16 games. So what have you seen specifically at the OTAs that has impressed you the most about Jay Cutler this offseason?
It's his acceptance of what the coaches are saying to him, whether it's Matt Kavanaugh, Aaron Cromer, or Mark Trestman. He has an acceptance of what they're trying to teach him, what they're trying to tell him. You know, everything football, offensive line, whatever position you play is repetitiously done. And when you go through practices every day and it starts with the same thing, how many times does a quarterback drop back in the course of a career? Maybe a million. But every day, there they are doing it. And then Matt Kavanaugh has a little bit of details built into it in case you have any contact with your hands or your eyesight or anything during the drop. So these minor details that you have to do daily to get them done professionally on a Sunday, I think Jay has really accepted what every coach is trying to benefit him with, not only knowledge but work and on-field preparation. So, and that's a key element because whether Jay thinks it or not, he's one of the main leaders of this team, and you lead by example. And if you're going out there and you're giving the effort and you're working to the little details that they need you to be a good influence around the rest of the guys, not only in your position on the team, Jay's done everything that's asked of him because of that.
You can join us at 312-644-6767 for the Ask Tom segment and have a chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Interesting that you bring up acceptance. You know, not always has Jay Cutler been accepted in a locker room. You know, so it's not only his acceptance of coaching, but how his teammates are going to accept him as a leader. As you just mentioned, sometimes, yeah, you lead by example. Sometimes you can lead with your words. Sometimes you can lead just by your subtle, quiet confidence that can calm a locker room or a huddle or a sideline and how you perform. What do you think from that aspect of Jay Cutler and how he's matured, or maybe his teammates and how willing they are to accept him now as he inked his new 7-year contract with the Chicago Bears?
Well, you know, I think there's a significant amount of pressure off of Jay Cutler from the other coordinators that he had. he had. Because there it was to put a plan in place, try to take advantage of some of the weaknesses and vulnerabilities of the defense you're going to play against, call the play, and then allow the quarterback to do whatever pressure's on him or the speed or the rate of the play is going to unfold, and that's the way you went about your business. I think there's such an acceptance of what Mark can bring to an offensive team, an offensive player, and a specific quarterback position specifically, that there's such confidence in the knowledge. And I do think that's a key ingredient. Again, going back to some of the stale coordinators that have gone through the NFL, and they put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And if you don't succeed, it's the quarterback's fault. I think here, if the quarterback doesn't succeed, Mark only almost takes that, puts the pressure on him that he's the reason or it's the reason. And I think that's a lot of relief for Jay. And I think it helps him in the locker room because he is doing what's asked of him in every way, shape, or form. But he's also putting into a more confident zone because of what Matt Kavanaugh, Mark Trestman, and Aaron have done for him.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's check in with Wayne, who's calling in from Pontiac, Illinois. Wayne, how we doing, bud?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Tom. Curious to know what you guys think Jordan Lynch's role is going to be with the team, if he makes the team, and who the number two running back is going to be for the Bears. That's my question. Go Bears. Thanks.
Hey, you know, Jordan, he's going to have to create a niche. He's going to have to be a good blocker on special teams. He's going to have the desire and the willingness to tackle on special teams. He's going to have to create a niche possibly as a third down back, a pass catcher, and everything else that he's qualified to do. He's really good when he gets the ball into his hands, just handed to him as a running back. But again, you know, when you're up, you know, you got to have the challenge of a blitzing linebacker. You have to make sure your capability of fulfilling your duties in order to get an opportunity on the field. And, you know, I think there's a lot of Chicago people, a lot of fans in the area that are really pulling for Jordan to do well. But it's going to be up to Jordan. And one of the guys he's going to have to impress is Joe DeCamillis, the special teams coordinator, because you have a chance to be such an important core guy on the fourth phase of this team that consider yourself a starter if you're playing on every special team.
Well, for what you saw at the OTAs out of Jordan, because you bring up good points. I know the pads aren't on, but Jordan Lynch was a different type of quarterback at Northern Illinois. He's used to being hit. He's used to ball security, just how many times he ran the football from the position. So I don't think that'll be an issue for Jordan Lynch, but I just wonder, is this offense so expansive for him where it would slow down his play a little bit? So you bring up the good points about the niche that he has to have on special teams, and he better be a physical demon on special teams.
Yeah, you're right. And again, that's where I think most rookies, most undrafted free agents, most first-year guys, that's where they're going to create the awareness. He's going to have to make some eye-opening play during the preseason games where they say, wow, we got to recognize and give this guy another opportunity. But in talking to Jordan Lynch, he's got that unique qualification that he has so much time behind center that when he listens to the play called in the huddle as a running back, he still filters it like a quarterback. And I do think that's an interesting thing for him to keep on doing. But again, Jordan, he understands everything, not just his role.
We only had a couple of callers, so we will keep open the Ask Tom segment. 312-644-6767 on the other side. But first, register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. More Ask Tom after this. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at CHI Bears Promos, or check out the podcast, ChicagoBears.com. We continue with our Ask Tom segment, your opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority with the best question. Remember, I am the judge and jury, so I will make the call. You can hop on board, 312-644-6767. Let's check out Dan, who's calling from Morris, Illinois. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Tom, fellow Catholic High alumni. Question for you. How do you think the offense is going to do this year with Earl Bennett being gone, and who's going to take over the third receiver?
You know, that's something we talked about a little bit earlier. Jim brought up the the fact that what Wes Welker did in the Denver offense, but now we started talking about a new name that has emerged in Marquise Wilson. And Marquise Wilson is different than Wes Welker. He's a taller guy that has blazing speed rather than a shorter, stockier guy that will go underneath. So if Marquise Wilson can mature at the rate that Alshon Jeffrey did in the second year, you're going to see some explosive numbers by a receiver group that's never been touched in Chicago before. Earl Bennett was a very good receiver. Unfortunately, he had significant injuries that took him out of major portions of seasons. And Earl was a really well-liked player, and he was also a blocker on the inside. It's okay with Marquise Wilson to be blessed with great speed, but one of the requirements I know that they have here for the receivers is the ability and the desire to block, and Alshon and Brandon are both incredible examples of that.
Great question, Dan. Let's check out Paul, who's calling from Wicker Park. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, not much. Just wondering, so all this talk's getting me excited for the season. Obviously, the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. I wanted to ask, who do you guys think, other than the obvious choices, who do you think they're going to be playing?
Ooh. Oh, Jim. It's such a difficult question to answer at this point in the season. And, you know, whenever you have a guy like Tom Brady, it's hard to count him out of anything because I believe he's got one of the top two or three best head coaches in the league. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, it's easy to talk about New England, but another AFC team doesn't come to mind, you know, outside of Peyton Manning and Denver.
Yeah, Denver, I mean, again, could their offense do even more damage than what they did a year ago? They feel they upgraded their defense, getting Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward, outstanding safety. So it's going to be interesting, but great questions all the way around. But I like how he prefaced it when you look at Paul with, obviously, the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. So, Paul, in Wicker Park, you are the winner, my friend, of a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So all great questions again. And Tom has asked me a pretty hard question tonight. As I was the judge and jury on that one, it's hard for me to ignore what you brought up because we could easily say, hey, I think Jay Cutler's numbers could be phenomenal.
Let me just bring it up again just to get our audience, because I asked you a question. I saw this poll that was taken whenever, and they talk about MVP candidates at the conclusion of the season, and Peyton Manning was number one. And within that list, I think Jay was number six maybe, and then Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall were down the list a little bit, and they were tied. No Alshon or no other player. To me, if there's an MVP on this team that relates to the success of the team, it doesn't come from the offense. And I just wanted to see what you thought about what the MVP possibly means and what direction it could go on this team.
Well, I think, certainly most valuable. And, yeah, got to be valuable in a lot of ways to be durable. And to me personally, I still can see great numbers out of Brandon Marshall. I can see great numbers and even improved numbers from Martellus Bennett and also Alshon Jeffrey as well. We'll see about the emergence of, say, Marquise Wilson, who could be a productive player as well. But for me, it's Matt Forte all day long. With what that player can do, I think he is the most underrated player in the National Football League on offense with what he can do. He's special with his jump cut. He's got great vision, his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And it's not just normal, typical running back routes. He is a legitimate route runner in what he can do. So for me, it's Matt Forte. Because, again, if the Bears go no huddle and the weapons that they have, he's going to see good looks at the line of scrimmage. So if it's a run, pass, check at the line of scrimmage, the numbers alone, meaning the box numbers for the listeners out there, Jay Cutler could actually be audibling or checking to a lot of run plays to take advantage and put those offensive linemen in good angles where he could be out the gate with a lot of explosive runs, which is funny. People still think, Tom, that this guy can't get it in terms of his speed, and I just don't see it. He's displayed that he can take it to the house when given the opportunity.
All right, other side of the commercial, I want to tell you who I think could be the MVP candidate for the Chicago Bears in what I see and how that it equals success.
So there we go. The Ask Tom segment continues. We're going to ask Tom who's his MVP on the other side. Stick with us on Bears All Access. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer starting to close up shop on this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Again, our thanks to Paul in Wicker Park. Congratulations out to you as you are the winner of the Ask Tom segment, and you get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Had a lot of intense offensive discussion during this show, talking about, hey, will the Bears go high tempo? Mention the teams that they'll be playing, so even in division, some high-flying offense. As a matter of fact, they open up against the Buffalo Bills September 7th. I said that team earlier. They were the number three team in the National Football League in terms of plays logged at the line of scrimmage. So may have to go high tempo offense in the opener against the Buffalo Bills. But Tom, we ended the last segment talking about MVPs for the season for the Chicago Bears. I like Matt Forte for his all-around ability and his toughness, and could be facing some good looks with the weapons he's with on offense. For you, my friend, you see a different light. Could it be somebody on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going out on a whim, but I'm going with Jared Allen, and I'll tell you why. You look at what the sack year he had a couple years ago and how destructive sacks are. When a sack happens outside the red zone, the team scores a touchdown at about a 2% rate. So if Jared Allen can come in here and get sacks and then get pressure that sacks are related to Lamar Houston or the guys on the inside, and the continuous amount of pressure limits successive drives. You see how destructive the last drive of the year was by Aaron Rodgers with no pressure on some significant first down conversions in that game. So again, if you want MVP that relates to success, if you could get that type of year out of Jared, I'm not asking for 20-plus sacks. I'm just asking for high double-digit sacks that relate to sacks to your teammates because they are destructive, and I think that's where the real success of the Bears' future is, in making sure their defense is upgraded significantly.
Well, we've always known Jared Allen to play with his hair on fire, and I think he may come in with a chip on his shoulder. Hey, were the offers there this offseason? He talked to Seattle. Here he ends up with the Chicago Bears. Probably thought he was worth more money, but that was kind of the going rate when you look at DeMarcus Ware and the other defensive ends and where they signed this offseason. Do you expect that type of hair on fire season? Have you seen that chip on the shoulder from Jared Allen since he's arrived in Chicago for the Bears?
Yeah, everything I've seen out of him is everything that we've grown to think about him just from the outside looking in. And then when I see him extended animated conversations there with Jeremiah Ratliff, getting to understand how they feel during these different types of stunts and games that they'll run with each other, how he interacts with the rest of the defensive linemen out there. It is a picture of enthusiasm, and enthusiasm relates to a kind of a contagious form of a camaraderie on the field that relates to more exciting team play. So everything I've seen so far is everything we've expected out of them. Again, it's just a kind of a fantasy conversation, just like the MVP conversation is before any season starts. But I always think of MVP relating to success, and I think it would have to be on the defensive side of the ball here.
Well, we talk about it all the time, Tom, because football is the ultimate team sport. Here, I'm giving Matt Forte the MVP, and it's because of who's around him. He's going to get some favorable looks, in my opinion. And you look at Jared Allen, if he has the success, you're only as strong as the weakest link in football for the listeners out there. And if he can maybe get some other guys here, whether it's the young players, Ego Ferguson as a defensive tackle, you brought up Lamar Houston. If he could have that type of impact on his teammates defensively, it's only going to benefit him because he's going to need everybody around him as well, correct?
Oh, exactly. And that's the thing about it is if you can get those out, you know, how many opportunities can he get your offense to get back on the field? And now is Jared Allen type of guy that gets a turnover quick and gets you into that no-huddle scenario where the team's already fatigued on the other side of the ball. So, again, it's a lot of fun to talk about, you know, future MVP candidates, but, you know, hopefully they'll come on both sides of the ball.
Tom, how can we be fatigued? It's only 60 minutes and it's over. So we're going to do it again next week, my friend, because Zach Sadman is going to be returning for Bears All Access. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.